to the Rockman Show. It's time for Rockman to give his opinions, his views, and his thoughts on life and rock. So grab a beer, buckle in, and get ready to rock!
After a while, I realized that I was needlessly restricting myself to 7 words and only to the ones that weren't allowed on TV. I mean, there were a lot more to be looked at. And television isn't the only place that objects to your language sometimes. There are lots of situations where you're not supposed to say that. So I expanded the list by as many as I could, and I'd like to share some with you now. The list is a little longer than it was before. First, we start with the ones we already know. Shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cocksucker, motherfucker, tits, fart, turd, and twat. Crap, balls, prick, asshole, jack-off, jerk-off, scumbag, douchebag. We'll be right back.
my life. I don't understand why people fuck with me so hard, man. I'm fucking tired of it, man. I am fucking tired of it. And that's why I wanted Slayer and I wanted fucking George Carlin to kind of help me open the fucking show, because I'm tired of the fucking bullshit in this town. And it's rampant globally. I can't fucking believe it. All right, you're wondering, why is Ragman so pissed?
Yeah, why are you so pissed? Fucking calm down, motherfucker.
No, fuck you, John. And fuck thieves. Fucking car was broken into again during the middle of the fucking day. It's fucking bullshit, man. Motherfuckers stole my fucking backpack with a lot of shit in there, man. A lot of shit. Fucking hate thieves, man. And my fucking bag was secured. Privacy gate, everything. And these cocksuckers go and break my fucking window and take my shit. Fuck you. Fuck thieves.
I can need a hug.
No, I don't need a fucking hug. Oh, fuck, man. I don't understand why people like me, not bothering anyone, except for maybe my spiel that maybe offends people, but I don't fucking care. If you don't like what I say, then fucking don't listen. But what I'm saying is, I don't get it. I don't fucking get it. And it fucking bothers me, man. That people are so shitty that they go break a fucking guy's window out in the middle of the fucking day. With fucking Laurel and Hardy out there fucking guarding the parking lot. I think the fucking security guard was asleep when I went up there and said, hey, by the way, you're not doing your fucking job. My car just got fucking broken into. What? I didn't see nothing. I was just going around the corner. Oh, fuck me. You know what? Before we even go any further, Mr. G, I need some help here. I forgot about all my troubles after I had to hear that. And see what's going on up there. John, clean that shit up.
Working on a chair. I need a smoke first.
Get your smoke done. Let me rate this beer. All right, today, I brought this one back from the Netherlands. This is called the IPA Wahoo. It's from De Kramerhering out of the Netherlands. Let me read you a little bit about this bad boy. Wow, I need some light in here. This is our go-to IPA, a beer designed for maximum thirst, quenching, drinkability. The dry hops, Centennial Citra, gives a beer a tropical fruity character, complemented with a balanced bitterness and soft mouthfeel. Don't overthink it, just yell, wahoo! All right, let's see if I do that after I drink this beer. All right, pouring in the glass over here. The can's pretty cool. They got this thing with these fishes. It's like the crazy fish. That's what De Kramerhering means. So, the crazy fish. Oh, wow. A lot of head on here. The can's just got a fish just like, hey, how you doing? Got some lips almost like the stones and it's blushing. So, how about that? So, the beer itself is clear. Kind of a nice golden color here. A lot of head. Not a lot of lacing or retention on the glass, but looks good. I'm thirsty over here. Let me do the smell test. Smells like a standard IPA, kind of bitterness. I've smelled the hops and stuff like that. Let me clink myself. Not bad, kind of bitter. Maybe a hint of malt. Not really malty, but just a little bitterness there. Crisp smooth, but the bitterness is kind of getting me there. It's not really a Citra orange peel. It's just like a hoppy bitterness. Not horrible. Not my fave. But tell you what, probably give it about a 3. So that means we'll kick into a tune. I just found this new band. They're called Wheel. Really cool band. Kind of proggy sounding. So I hope you guys dig this. This song's called Empire. Check it out. Now I'm calmed down. I'm better. I had to get that out of my system. Sorry I got all upset at the beginning of the show.
I told you, you just need a hug.
I don't want a hug from you, sir.
Come on, it'll make you feel better, I promise.
No. I'm not falling for that, sir. Not falling for that. Anyway, I started the show with a new Ozzy song with Steve Stevens, which I thought was pretty cool. Actually, it's the first Ozzy song I've liked in probably, God, I can't even tell you when. Kind of had a Perry Mason vibe to it with the bass line and stuff like that. It's so funny that about everything Ozzy writes now or puts out, sounds like Zach's still in the band, even though he's not. That said, I really like the addition of Stevens on this. Very cool riff. Ozzy still sings pretty well. The only thing, it was kind of hard to watch the video. He's getting older. Kind of reminds me of that Dokken thing I mentioned to you a couple episodes back, where it's just kind of hard to watch the artist himself when they get this old and they're just breaking down. So it's almost cooler to see a lyric video, but in this case, I liked it because I got to see Steve. I'm not sure who the other guitar guy was, but it was very cool. Yeah, I liked that song. And like I said, I started the show with a little George Carlin, with the names of the thieves that stole my shit. And then a little Slayer, because I need some aggression. But speaking of Slayer, as many of you know, about a month ago, they announced a reunion. And unbeknownst to Kerry King at the time, he didn't know they were reuniting. It was all Tom Araya. So I believe everything's back to normal now. There are Gary Holt's in it, Paul Bastoff, and Kerry King, as well as Tom Araya. But, you know, how can Tom do this without consulting Kerry? They're the two original members of Slayer. I don't know if Tom has more rights to the name. I wouldn't think so, because those guys were the founders back in the 80s. So I hope they work that shit out. From everything I've read recently, it looks like everything's back to normal. But it's kind of that weird band thing where it seems like the guys don't like each other, but they get back together for the paycheck or whatever's going on. And at the end of the show, you're going to hear a band that really likes each other. They're a band called Wicked, and they're very cool. I really like these guys. I hope you dig them too. They're on tour with Raven and Vicious Rumors for a short little stint here, about 20 dates or so. So check them out in your town. I'm going to check them out this Tuesday in Houston at the Kickback Bar. So Going to be interesting. I've never been to this venue, so I can kind of give you a review on that. I hope it's a good live venue. Maybe it's a new one. Who knows? There's a couple that popped up here lately, which is encouraging to see. So I don't know how intimate it will be, but with those big bands, you would think you would need a pretty good, solid venue. So, like I said, I'm going to see them, but after the end of my spiel here, you're going to hear me talking to the guys. I chatted with them yesterday, getting ready for that show in Houston, and they were getting ready for their first show there in NOLA. What do you call that?
It's called Nolalia.
What is that?
Nolalia. To the old school people that listen to the show, the real Cajuns, they know that's the way it's pronounced.
Dude, I don't believe a word you fucking say.
Well, go fuck yourself then, okay? How about that?
Why is he here? Why is he here? I don't know. Anyway, so I wanted to bring that up. And then I also wanted to bring up something really quick before we get going. Slash, everybody's favorite, the darling guitar player, Slash, has come out with some new stuff. New song with, I think, Brian Johnson from AC/DC. Here we're going to go. We're going to play this song. This one's called Killing Floor. And then after we hear the song, I will do give you a little... my thoughts on it. And then we're going to jump into this awesome interview I have with the band Wicked. So let's check it out. That was Slash with Brian Johnson and I believe Steven Tyler on harmonica. Limited audience for that, I think. To me, it did. I mean, it's blues. It's blues. It's not poorly done. Did I like it? Not a lot. I don't know. I don't want to just bash it, but it's. I'm not going to listen to it again. How about that? It's okay. It's okay. It's just nothing special. It's just blues. So I was really curious. I was like, okay, I doubt he wrote that. It's got to be somebody else. Because usually when guys go back and do blues numbers and like, hey, want to do some blues? Gary Moore used to do it, and he fucking nailed it every time he did it. But a guy like Slash, you would think he's going to go back to something really, really old school. Like some guys from the 20s or 40s or something like that. He's like, I'm going to like cover this and show my cred and look how cool I am, blah, 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 blah. So anyway, I looked this up and I found this. And I believe this guy actually wrote the song. A guy named Alan Wolf. And I'm not sure when it came out. I didn't get that far. And I, really don't give a fuck that much. And I liked it. I liked it better.
Right.
I think because maybe you look at Slash as just the Guns N' Roses guy, and the stuff he does with Miles Kennedy, I do enjoy. Not a fan of Velvet Revolver. And I think he's an average guitar player. I don't think he's the greatest guy to ever play guitar, which so many people tout him as. He's a good bluesy kind of guitar player, but playing like old school blues like that, I don't know. It's not my thing for him, but maybe some people will enjoy it. I just don't see a big outlet for it. But hey, that's what Ragman thinks. You can tell me to fuck myself. I don't know. If you tell me to, I might. I never know what I'm going to do with myself. I get bored. But anyway, enough of me. I've got a great interview for you guys. These guys are fucking awesome. They're called Wicked. They're out of New York. Been around for about 10 years. I just discovered them. Believe it. Yes, believe it or not, yesterday I just discovered these guys. And I'm like, holy shit, I really dig it. They got a really cool like 70s glam vibe. Bringing in stuff like Thin Lizzy, Boston. And then mixing it with like some newer shit. Like maybe somebody like Third Eye Blind. And also you get like hints of like Trickster and The Darkness. So you get a lot of really cool stuff. These guys really write good songs. You're about to hear for yourself. So anyway, guys, I want to thank you for listening every week. And want to give you one big hands up.
Scotty V here.
Danny Martin.
Chad Michael.
Gunner.
And this is Wicked. And you listen to The Ragman Show. Horns up, baby.
Alright guys, you're on live with Ragman, and I'm with a badass new fucking band called Wicked, I'd never heard of until today, and they've been kicking my ass all day. This is like the quickest preparation I've ever done for an interview in my life, 2 hours, but I love this band, and I'm not going to bullshit them because they're all looking at me, and they could all whoop my ass, I know it, because I'm an old man, and they're young guns, but no, seriously, you guys kick ass. Welcome to the Ragman Show.
Thank you for having us.
Man. Super excited.
You guys have a brand new record called Sunburn coming out. You're on tour with Raven, Vicious Rumors, Luther Rowe. I hope I didn't say their name wrong. I don't know them
We're trying to figure it out, too. I think it's Lothero.
Lothero, yeah.
What are you going to do? So anyway, guys, I've done some research. It sounds like you've been around for like 10 years. This is your second record, I believe. So it was the first one, an EP, and I believe that was called The Last American Rock Band. So is that an EP, like four songs or so, or is there more?
No, it was actually eight songs. So I guess
really?
Full album. It was kind of cool, like, you know, like you said, it's been a decade of us being a band, and the cool part about it is, like, for the, you know, first majority of that, it was just us as kids, you know, wanting to be rock stars. And having a big dream, you know what I mean? And I think that's important, especially in the beginning, is you've got to have that heart center of passion and like just dreaminess that you got to go for something. And then the next step is, can you take that and make it into something that's real? And that's where we started to make this thing a business and also still be our passion. So, you know, I think when The Last American Rock Band came out, it was finally time for us to put on the big boy pants and say, let's really do this like it's a job.
Well, I loved it because I love the way your website's set up and you have the videos and everything. And New York Tough was one of the songs I listened to. And I said, holy shit, man, I love the melodies, the vocal harmonies you guys do. I can't wait to hear it live.
Such a man.
because you always wonder, you know, you can hear shit that's great in the studio, but the band pulls it off live. I think one of the best examples may have been like Enough's Enough with Donnie.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, those guys, fuck. And even Mr. Big, I'm thinking 80s bands.
Oh, yeah.
But, those guys, they still kill it harmony-wise. And that's huge to pull off live, and I'm sure it's hard. In the studio, I'm sure it's a bit easier. It's a controlled environment. When you're jumping around the stage, you're, you know, out of breath and stuff like that. I love
you're,
it, though.
You're right about that, though. That's the most important thing for us is you know, if it's one thing you could do it in the studio, and you know, it takes a lot of work to, like, get through that. But if you can't replicate that on the stage, you got to go back and put in your practice and get back to work. You know, it's, we pride ourselves in being a hardworking band, and that means bringing the level of quality from the record to the live show.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, let's jump into the sound. And this is what got me a little perplexed after I heard you and I heard who you're playing with. I'm like, okay, there's a little bit of a needle in the haystack thing going on. But, you guys are fucking awesome. It's like a 70s kind of glam thing with the 80s hard rock vibe, a little punkish. In the press release, it mentioned Third Eye Blind, and actually I was like, holy shit, I kind of hear that too. So mm-hmm. I like what you're melding. You don't sound dated at all, but I love, you know, your sound. It's just good, old-fashioned, great songwriting, great sing-along type choruses, which, I mean, ear candy for me. I loved it, but how do you get picked to be on a bill with a thrash, one of the bands that almost probably invented thrash, like Raven? And then you got Vicious Rumors, that's metal as fuck. Luther Rowe, we don't know who they are, so we're not going to talk about them. But I'm sure, I mean, I think they were
kind of like
extreme
the
metal too, right?
Yeah, like stuff like that. So it's pretty heavy.
But how do you get right. picked for the bill?
You're right. It is a very odd and funny thing, but I think that the irony of the whole situation is perfect for what's going on with this album, and it's us kind of like going against like the grain. So, long story short is, if we go all the way back, Gunnar's dad used to roadie for Raven, and there's picture of the Gallagher brothers with Gunnar when he was just a baby. But this isn't just a family favor. We actually played with Raven back like the last year or so, a couple of times here and there. And I'll tell you what, those guys are lunatics, and we're all about priding ourselves in being a high energy rock and roll band.
I mean, look, the cops are coming for us right now.
I see them.
So it's kind of like a match made in heaven in that regard. I think it's all about that passion and energy that we're going to bring. And you know what? Look, we're going to open up the show. We're going to play our original music, and we're going to be proud of it. And if the crowd digs into it, great. You know what? But we're going to come out there and play like it's MSG every night. And we saw that in Boston. We saw that in Rochester and a few different dates with Raven last time. So, you know, we're kind of excited. You know, it's always about bringing that community together. So, like, when you go and see a Wicked show on its own, you're going to see some dude in a business suit. He's standing next to a metalhead. There's a punk rocker to the left, a goth girl on the right. You know what I mean? And then maybe there's some anime girl over on Scotty's side of the stage who's just like googly-eyed over him. So it's like, you get a mix of everybody, and that's what Wicked is all about. It's not about any kind of like weird, like, I only listen to this genre or these barriers. We're just about, at the end of the day, good entertainment, and it translates through good fun, good music, good entertainment.
High energy rock and roll.
Yeah, we just got to New Orleans. We're over at Planet Fitness, and we were talking with a bunch of locals, and they're like, we've never been to a rock show, and they're looking at the videos. They're like, damn, we're going to come out to the New Orleans gig because this looks fun. You know what I mean? Like, so.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. I will say, being from the older generation, I saw Raven open up for Wasp and Slayer. Or actually, it was Wasp. I think Raven, Slayer, and then Wasp. And Raven got booed off the stage. I think back in the 80s, in that time frame, people were more close-minded. Now you have these festivals where you could have Cheap Trick, and then you could have Dimmu Borgir, or you could have someone else more extreme. You could have all these different genres going on at one time. So I think people are more open-minded now than they were back in my generation when I was at a metal show, because I loved Raven, but they came out with that single On and On, and it was a little bit more commercial, and they're like, kind of booed them, and then Slayer destroyed, and then Wasp the club almost emptied out to about 20 people, which I loved Wasp too. And I was you know, the Slayer people were brutal as fuck.
Oh, yeah.
I can tell more stories, believe me. But I have to say, your look too, you have the glam look. And I got to say, I haven't seen a band with all blonde guys probably since King Cobra, with the exception of Cormod Appice. So, what was your thinking? Do we need to stand out this way? We all dye our hair blonde, or, you know?
Well, if you really dig deep, you're going to see, and this is like, it was a moment in time when we were kids, but it was first the blonde. You're right. Like, how do we stand out? And, you know, Chad and I were always like, big, like, you know, we wish we were in California, right?
Beach bum kind of like mentality, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we love rock and roll. That's kind of like our holy grail, where we want to live and be and, you know, just be a cabana boy. So, like, that started the hair thing. Scotty joined. He got blonde hair, right?
I was always looking for an excuse to dye it blonde. My mom wouldn't let me. Then I joined the band. I'm like, I have to.
And then when Gunner did the tryout for the drum position, he showed up with blonde hair, and we're like, dude, you got the job. And then they found out that he could actually play drums too. But we used to wear like white too, because we were like, it was all about, listen, to me, rock and roll is about not following the trends, not being a robot that's just walking along in the masses, right? And so, like, when you look at that example of like terminology, you know, then you go and look at what is going on in rock and roll and metal, and everybody's wearing black and everybody's doing this. And it was like, I don't want to be a robot in a different scene. You know what I mean? Like, I want to go against the grain. And we did that. And I think we did it well. But now we're like, we're doing exactly the same thing. We're doing whatever the fuck we want to do.
Nice.
You know what I mean? And so we're wearing black now, you know, and who knows what we'll do tomorrow. Like, but it just all goes into like, really, who are we doing this for? It's for us, first and foremost. If we can't love it, then why are we doing it? You know what I mean? So.
That's awesome, man. And I love that. I love that. And that's what I loved about all the videos. The videos are fucking hilarious. They're really cool too. But you mentioned loving California. I want to bring up one of my early favorites on the record, Cali. I really love that song. It's so cool. I like just a good mid-tempo type song. Great chorus. Tell me a little bit about that song and how it came together.
We're writing for the studio.
Put it out. Yeah.
We had our producer Nacho Molino over, and we were kind of doing like pre-production, and he brought new life to the music. I mean, it wasn't a big change, but
that
it was
a big part of this.
He really brought a new light to it, and it was. I mean, it really is what what the music is about. It's about going to Cali and having that longing for wanting to be.
The dynamic between like New York boys wishing you were living in like this different.
It's that whole thing that, you know, the good and the evil thing. Yeah. And like the whole dichotomy of the two different aspects. Like, we always kind of like go back to that. But yeah, I mean, it's really about wanting to be like in the sun and being stuck kind of like in, you know, this like cold, like
tundra.
Well, the next one was the first single that came off the record. I really like that. The video is really cool. Lost in the Dark. The glam look of the video. Again, I saw that. I grasped onto that. I thought it was awesome. The harmonies. Just a fun party rock type vibe. I really dig that. I don't know if you've had this, I guess someone say that this song kind of sounded like that. It reminded me a little bit of The Darkness. minus the vocals. I don't know if I'm, I guess, I think I'm on track there.
And you're like Peter Cessier.
Yeah.
He was just, he's a huge Darkness fan, just like us. And not a lot of people know like all the different things that we really love because we don't get to talk about it that much. But like, he was like, yo, you guys got to play with them and this and that. And we're like, and he goes, he said the same thing about Lost in the Dark. And I was like, there you go, baby.
Yeah. I mean, it's like the big, it's just the big, simple power chords and brings out the melodies. But, you know, it goes back to also like the Toto's, the Boston.
Yeah.
Like that kind of like,
early, a little bit of Thin Lizzy,
you know, like mid to late 70s music, you know, like where, you know, you kept it simple, very power pop kind of rock, you know.
But the Darkness is a cool nod because, you know, of course they were in that 90s time frame, and
but they're doing
but they love that 70s hard rock, and that's exactly the pocket that, like, you know, essentially right now we're kind of like sitting in.
Nice. Hey, Scotty, I want to give you compliments. I really like your guitar tone in that song. The solo sounded really cool. I like what you did. Very tasteful. Just sounded great, man.
I dialed it in really perfectly. You know, I worked hard on that.
So the funny thing about that solo is, when we were cutting the solos, I went down with the producer and he's like, "Okay, we're gonna do Lost in the Dark now." And I'm like, "Oh fuck, wait a second. I didn't make a solo for that yet." I was in demo versions where I didn't have it where I wanted it. I was just kind of jamming an improv. And then, so he went upstairs to go get a beer, and he's a little slow with doing things, so it took him like about 15 minutes to go up there.
Guy's got 10 grams, he calls him a little slow.
I didn't mean that. If he goes get a beer, he's gonna come back in like 10 minutes, 20 minutes. Fair. But so in that time, I wrote the solo, and he came back down. I'm like, "All right, I just made the solo." He's like, "You didn't have it done yet?" And I'm like, "Well, it's done now." And so that's exactly what you heard. I did like maybe two takes of it, and that was it.
Like in a bottle.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes it was the best. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Just quick and stuff like that. It's not overthought out or anything like that.
And as for the tone on that, a lot of the album was cut on JCM 800s with just the tube screamer through it. And then, you know, whatever Nacho did on post, but there wasn't too much going on there. Maybe a wah pedal here and there.
Yeah, kind of old school. Yeah.
Yeah, I dug that. I really dug that. Another one I'm really digging, and I think it's maybe the heavier song on the track, on the album, is Get Away With Enough. Yeah. I love how it starts off with that acoustic thing, and it kicks in, kind of kicks in the face a little bit. So yeah. Tell me a little bit about that one. I love that song. Never look behind at what's coming for me. You can't deny you've got something I need. That danger lies somewhere between the fear of chasing after the dream.
Young and dumb.
you're not really expecting it. Like when it comes in, you're like, oh, okay, it's gonna be a softer song, and then we just like.
So it's kind of cool because when we went to go and do Sunburn, like the long story short is pandemic hits, right? Everybody's got that story. Last American Rock Band gets recorded. And we stay in the studio with Nacho for 3 months. Like, you know, his family comes and stays with us before he moved up near us and everything. There's this whole story here. And we just keep recording what becomes Sunburn. And Sunburn, Lost in the Dark, Get Away with Enough, Gorgeous. A bunch of these songs are like written in that moment. And Get Away with Enough and a few of these other ones are all like at this big reflection, which really becomes like a theme of the album. It's a reflection on like all those years of us being together and living together. And like I said earlier in the interview, like just being wanting to be rock stars, but being kids and learning to be musicians and the ups, downs, you know, the mistakes, the pitfalls.
Yep.
But like in the end of the day, those are memories that you just cannot replace. You know, even if you have something that goes wrong, eventually you're going to laugh about it and say like, you know what, we learned from that. We had a good time and now we're just laughing the shit out of it. Like it's, you know what I mean? Like I wouldn't trade it for the world. Like,
yeah.
And I think that's what's special about this collection of songs is that's exactly what we're doing. We're reflecting on like all these years of like coming to where we are now.
Was solid, man. And like I said, this whole record, I like the way it flows. There's a nice variety on it. But I mean, the songs are so catchy. They just kind of get in your head right away. And I found myself like singing along to several songs on the first listen. By the time the second chorus came along, I'm like, holy shit, I'm already singing this. So that's huge. I mean, there's so much crap music that comes out. It doesn't hit you like this. But this album, the songwriting's so good and it's so catchy. You guys definitely have a really good knack for songwriting and having a really catchy lyrics and stuff like that where people want to sing. And I bet you it comes off very well live.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm telling you what live shows where you want to be. That's a blast. Cause it's not only do you get the songs and all the catchiness, but you get a really good entertainment.
It's a different
factor.
Animal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you say you may come off a little heavier live or no?
Absolutely. Yes, I mean, yeah, we were just saying that too. It's so funny. It's
because
like...
people were saying, like you said earlier, like, oh, you're with Raven and this and that. And it's like, and then we looked at each other and we're like, are we not heavy enough for them? And then they're like, oh, no. No, like, just look back at any live video. Like, you guys are going to get your heads rocked.
I mean,
off.
The thing is with us, like, we were like, we grew up playing like very raw and almost like over like exaggerating our vocals and like playing harder because we couldn't hear ourselves as much with these like really cheap wedges. So we just play way harder than normal. And it's like kind of a habit.
and when we were recording Sunburn, our producer, when we told him what we wanted to get out of the album, he's like, well, you guys got to play a little lighter. It was like, we were like bending strings and going out of tune. And it was like, it's great if you're doing a thrash record, but if you're going to do this album that you're doing, you got to play a little lighter and pull it back a little bit. Like, okay.
Well, live, I like the heavier. I grew up with Raven and stuff, of course. And
yeah.
I play really hard. And I think it pushes these guys to another
and
level, you know?
Gunner doesn't give himself enough credit. If you get to see a live show, this guy is the secret. He is the secret weapon of the band. Again, the last guy in the band, the puzzle piece that was missing, but he is just a powerhouse. I've never seen a drummer, and I'm going to put my statement here on the table. I have never seen a drummer play like this guy plays. He's an
oh, nice.
Even when he's like completely plastered on Jaeger, he makes his whole set. Even if it was like a few dBs to you know, low end.
It's terrible.
Yeah, we're not gonna talk about that. Want to talk about that story?
No Jaeger for Gunner. He made it through. Yeah.
Okay, we need that story now. It's already on the table.
So we'll give the short.
Let's take you all the way back to New Jersey.
The short of it, a very old show in New Jersey we did many years ago. It's one of the first few years he was in the band, and he gets so plastered because some chick was buying him shots before.
And Bravo, our road manager, was buying
and
shit
so
too.
He was getting double shotted up. And so
and Bravo had no idea.
He's not just on stage. He makes it to the gig fine. And but then he goes,
your white face.
He goes, there's a classic photo.
And I'm not
of
talking
us.
About kiss makeup.
There's a classic photo of us doing the, you know, the bow photo at the end of the show, and he's just like,
I think we were holding him up.
And
really.
One of those fucking 5x7 flyer things. It's a flyer.
Listen, it was Greeley's comment, and
oh,
he
yeah,
went backstage. And he, we found him
hurled everywhere in the dressing
oh,
room,
shit.
All over Freely's Comet's gear. He was in the bathroom with one hand in the toilet and the other out laying on the floor like he got hit by a shotgun.
That's awesome.
Our manager at the time said that he was going to be fired and that we had to fire Gunner.
We fired the manager.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, that's rock and roll there. Awesome. Awesome. Well, let's go to a happier, prettier place with Gorgeous. I think it's in a Barbie house. That's what I read. I don't know if that's true or false. Bad Margot Robbie wasn't there to be your actress, but the movie had to do a good job.
It was filmed before that movie was probably filmed.
So the interesting thing about this house, owned by our friend Jamie Nelson, who's a photographer for Vogue in L.A., she's had everybody from Kim K to Katy Perry, Gwen Stefani, you name it, Machine Gun Kelly, all these people that really don't matter to us, but right, big names. And the funny thing is we filmed this video a couple years ago now. And so like in between then, all these huge stars are going there and filming their videos and getting pictures taken there. And we're like, God damn it. We didn't get our video out quick enough.
And the Barbie movie came out. We're like, oh, great.
But it was super cool because as you can see when you watch the video, like it just had that aesthetic. Every room's a different color. And we came up with this concept of like, you know, the boyfriends of the past, right? Like they're these guys that had all these character flaws. And we had our friend, actress Megan Davidson, be the star actress in it. And it was just a really cool thing to get like creative and a little bit like dreamy about the concept. And at the end of it, the big joke was, is maybe the character flaws were our own.
It was very cool.
Too good at acting.
Well, I liked what y'all did on Instagram because you did a little thing where you're all like in the hair salon. And Chad singing. It's awesome. I thought that was pretty funny too. I really like what you guys are doing on social media and you're using it to your advantage. And what you're doing with all these videos, for the record, is solid too. I say YouTube's like the new medium to discover new artists and stuff like that because that's how I discover so many artists now. And then I throw them on Spotify instantly. So you've got like 4 or 5 songs that got added to my Spotify today.
Love that.
Just on the, you know, first list of the records, like, Buck like it, I like it, you know. They're very solid.
Because social media is not made easy for rock bands. Yeah. They make it as hard as possible. Like, it's just, however the algorithm works, you really have to bust your ass to get anywhere on it. So,
but we're a hardworking group. So like you said, like, you know, it's, and the best part is like, you know, we touched on this earlier, but like, again, you know, when have you heard of a rock band nowadays that lives together and has lived together for 7 years, all four of us, like under the same roof. And I think that affords us a really unique situation where like, we haven't killed each other by now. And yeah. Two, like,
as close as you can get to killing
each other. And like two, like, what a better way to create experience and, you know, and just something to talk about. You know what I mean? Because like, I couldn't imagine being like all these Motley Crews and all these guys who like phone it in
they're
from a million
friends,
miles away.
You
don't even believe what the fuck they're writing and putting out anymore because it's just phony. You know, we're living it. We're down here right now on tour. We haven't even played a single show on the tour yet. You know, getting geared up for New Orleans show first. But we've already been to Nashville. We've been to a million Planet Fitnesses, getting workouts in and showers and all the follies that go along with it. With the RV and
issues
everything.
With the RV already.
You know what I mean? Like, so we've already got a whole other 6 albums worth of material ready because we're just having a great time together. You know what I mean?
Well, that's also, that was my next question. When you're on the road, are you continuing to write? Because there was a story where they talked about you going from New York to California, some stuff that happened on Route 66, which, you know, if we have time, we'll get into that. But seriously, do you write strictly on the road or just when you're in the house, or how's that work?
So what we do is usually we go and we get experiences like this. We're not per se writing the songs themselves, but we're getting the concepts for them. And then usually when we get to our casa and we sit around, we're like, you know, we're reminiscing, and then we go through things, and we are so jacked up on what we just did.
We're like so excited from like the experience.
We'll
like,
write two albums. Like just a little hint, we already got a whole nother album ready to go.
Yeah, after
recorded,
this.
Recorded, done. It's already done and ready to go. We just got to figure out.
And then two more after that. But Scotty, it's like, you know, like we're down here, like we've got tonight, we got the show tomorrow, and then we got a day off before we get to Texas. And like, you know, we're out, we're meeting with friends, local friends, people who have flown down like to like come and follow the band to a couple shows. And like, you know, it gets us excited. It makes memories and experience. And like I said before, what a better way to like write music than from actual excitement experience. You know what I mean? Like, and don't get me wrong, like if you're writing about dragons and unicorns and all that shit, like that's awesome too. It could be cool. Like, cheers, Dio. You know what I mean? But like, this is super fun for us because everything we do, whether it be, you know, the experience and then writing or even like music videos, we're doing things that we learn things like we go to the desert, we experience new things. Maybe the next album we're going to learn how to ride motorcycles just for a music video, but it'll get us to ride motorcycles. So it's like, it's always like just bringing the four of us friends together and pushing forward
other,
and having a good time, you know?
So wrap up the question, we live first, then we write.
Yeah, it's all about living.
As far as the music videos are concerned, is a band have a lot of influence on the direction of the videos and what's going on? Or is it the label pushing it? Are you guys paying for it out of pocket, or is the label? Because I heard one band, they're like, shit, we paid for this one ourselves and the other one the label paid for.
That's the beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Is no label. And I only say that because, you know, and Chad could take it too, is like it's DIY, you know, it's us controlling and steering the wheel, right?
That's awesome.
I mean, yeah, we don't want to be in a situation where we don't have a say over our creative content. We are the creators, you know.
Yeah, we've been there before in a small capacity. And you know what? I dare a label to come to us and give us both the money and the freedom, but we'll see. You know what I mean? Yeah. But till then, we're having a good time doing it. We're able to do it. We're able to move that needle forward. And right now, I'd say we're the most dangerous animal out there because, you know, we're having a good time doing it our way.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, dude, that is so awesome. I'm so happy for y'all because I know a lot of guys that I interview, they're in a different boat. They're getting paid a couple grand in their pocket after recording a record. And then if they can make anything, it's all merch and stuff like that. But you're handling everything yourself. So that's awesome. And you're putting out solid videos, solid products. I love it. I mean, everything's so professional. Do you guys, are any anybody in the band, like a videographer or something like that, or somebody that's really good on the web and stuff like that to do all that stuff? Or do you hire people to help you out? Oh,
so
Gunner.
It's a little mixed bag. Scotty, he big accolades to him. He learned how to do all the artwork and like Photoshop, the website stuff. And
so all the records we have and all the album covers and stuff, I put into life. So
Chad's really big on the video stuff. Not that he does all of it, but like New York Tough, like a lot of the things, like our new show that we're doing, the circus show, it's all Chad. Some would argue maybe even like some of the best stuff that we have. Like he's really meticulous, and he's nod to my brother. He could figure anything out. Like he's an engineer by day, but also like he just like he takes that skill set and he just finds a way to like make super quality stuff out of anything.
Such an eye for stylish.
Yeah. Gunner, he's like kind of like our behind the scenes business agent. Like he's always like just like. He's making shit happen, and then I'm like the band dad, so that's where I kind of like then get into like some of the relationships with like other third party people that we work with, and we have some great people. Longwood Media did a lot of the music videos you saw for the album, and we got a bunch of other cool people that we're working with now too, and we just kind of like just mix it up, man. And it's like, but it's always about good people, small circle, and good people to work with that you enjoy being around.
That's awesome, man. And you guys are making all the decisions, so you don't get the asshole manager that wants to fire Gunner for drinking too much Jaeger on tour.
Yeah!
Fuck that guy. I want to bring up an older song real quick. Hot Stage Lights, another really good, solid song. I'm sure you know the band Trickster. To me, it kind of had a Trickster vibe to it. I don't know if you get that or not. I don't know if it was Chad's vocals or what, but kind of had a Trickster vibe to it.
Trickster, I've never heard any Trickster songs, so I can't speak on that.
We played with them before. Yeah. We were talking about
it. Yeah. I thought that was Mr. Big. I don't know. I like Mr. Big.
Scotty had gone to the bar. He was talking to a girl. Everything just got lost.
There's some chicks around. I, you know, it's whatever.
Yeah. Well, let's get back to the tour. You're going to be in Houston on March 26th, this coming Tuesday, at Kickback Bar. So hopefully people aren't just kicking back at the bar. They're gonna be rushing the stage.
Rush the stage.
We're gonna make sure we're not gonna rush the stage.
I'm sure that
otherwise place we're hears, coming for you.
I'm sure that place hears that shit all the time.
But I will be up front. Give me the horns the whole time. How long does the tour last?
It's almost like a little over a month. We're missing a little bit of the upper Midwest. But we're pretty much like 22 dates solid with Raven, Vicious Rumors, and Lothero, and and it's going to be a blast. We're essentially making our way clockwise around North America, hitting Canada and going down the East Coast. So it's super exciting because we've been around, we've gone to like, you know, Rocklahoma Festival, a bunch of different places like that, you know, have played dates over all these years through America, but have never really gotten in a bus like we have this time. Yeah. And like just gone out for essentially a month and done a tour. So we're really cutting our teeth. And we're excited because it's just the beginning for us. You know, we're just blossoming. So
have you guys been over to Europe yet for any of the festivals over there? When I was listening, I was like, holy shit, these guys would be really big.
2020, we were supposed to go to Europe. It was all booked and
festival. Yeah.
Need to say more, but,
I mean, even like the next year they're planning for it, got canceled again. Yeah. And so, you know, we're hoping, you know, in the next year. So
I always say things happen for a reason. So, absolutely. You know, it's time and timing.
I'm praying for the Japan trip.
Yeah. I think you do great over there as well, to be honest.
And South America. I mean, we've got some. Argentina. Shout out to Argentina. I mean, we got some killer Wicked fans out there. So, and we haven't even seen them yet.
So, the guy that's listening to you guys and I talk, and they're like, okay, they sound great. What can they expect live from you? You kind of touched on it, Danny. What can they expect when they see you on Tuesday or other parts of the tour?
You're going to get a high-energy rock and roll show. Like, I mean, just like that's like the cliff notes of it. But like there's so much interaction with the crowd.
If the crowd's not interacting, there's a huge problem because we're gonna make them interact. We are gonna like just dive into their souls and pull out that like.
You know, this band is shy. We're gonna be like, hey, stop being a. You know,
and if you're in the crowd and you're shy, you're in for a rude awakening. Because you know what? It's a rock and roll show, and that's what we always
we're
say.
We're all extroverts tonight.
It's like that.
We're not going to church tonight, baby.
It's a Twisted Sister moment. Like Dee Snider comes out, punches you in the face.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
But like, you know, when we hit the stage, man, it's all very high energy. Like we're sprinting the stage the whole time, whether it's the largest stage that you've been on or the smallest stage you've been on, like a post.
Listen, you got a couple of hockey players that don't play hockey anymore. So like we get a little screw loose and like we need to like jump around and act like maniacs. So
we do kicks and you know.
I'm always trying to
jumping
do,
off. Jumping
I'm
off
always
the
trying
drum
to do the biggest split in the air, and then Chad tries to outdo it. So you know, maybe a headstock goes through like my arm or Gunner's drums or something. But like it'll be fun. Like, and at the end of the day, like, you know, whether we're giving shots out to the crowd or like bringing the ladies up for a kiss during Seal with a Kiss, we're just having a good time. And it's all about, like I said before. And it's an escape from your day to day. You know what I mean? If you're going to go to a show and you know, I get it, right? Like sometimes like it's just comfortable to sit at home and everything. So you get your ass out and you're like, oh, I made it out here. You know what? Let's have a good time. You know what I mean? Let's let loose.
Make it memorable.
Shake the cobwebs off and like turn around, meet the person behind you. And like now you're in a rock and roll metal community, right? Now you've made friends and that seed just grows from there. So that's what it's all about. That's what Wicked's about.
Well, how long do you guys have live to play? Being the four bands, I didn't know how abbreviated your set might be.
Yeah, we're about a half hour, 40 minutes.
Okay.
So, you know, you'll catch a good, you know, several songs from us, and it'll be pretty cool. I mean, it won't be anything like the release show where we did the whole stage up headlining with, like, you know, all the props and everything, but...
A headline soon, tour will come.
Soon, my friend.
We'll
be back.
Well, what time do you guys hit the stage generally when the show starts? I don't know if it's different during the week or if it's later on the weekends, but since you're playing a Tuesday here, just to kind of give people an idea of what time to show.
It's probably going to be like a half hour after the doors open.
Which doors are usually 6:30 or 7, so.
Yeah.
7:30. So you're going to want to get there early.
Yeah, so guys, make sure you get there by 6:30, check in, get a beer or your drink of choice, and get ready for the band. Do you guys, like, hang out by the merch booth after you play?
We might even be there before the show. So, like, you know, if you come early, maybe you'll get some extra perks or whatever. And then after the show, we always go to the merch booth. We're always there signing it, you know,
taking pictures,
you know,
yeah,
the merch,
a lot of merch.
Like we said, we're all about the community, you know. I mean, and it's more than just like merch. It's more than just like that, like 160.
It's creating
connections. Listen, it's about creating a new friendship. We've got apparel. We've got albums. We've got things that make you, when you leave, you're going to feel like a rock and roller, like you did during that show, and you get to take that home and share that with your friends. So come out, find out what Wicked from New York is all about, and let's create a community.
Well, guys, thank you for coming on the Ragman Show. We tell all the people to get Wicked's brand new record, Sunburned, catch them on tour. But before we let you go, we're going to do something special. We have four of us plus me, and we're going to give a horns up all together. Five horns up at once. Horns!